Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining Effingham Talks today. We are your hosts, Tommy Morgan and Frank Norris, broadcasting from beautiful Stillwell Pines just outside of Springfield, Georgia. If you are looking for a venue for your next event, go to their website at www.stillwellpines.com, their Facebook page, Stillwell Pines Event Venue, or give them a call at 912-665-2631 to set up a tour. Welcome to today's special episode on women's empowerment. Our guests today are Vera Jones, former Effingham County Commissioner, former Effingham County School Board Chairman, and entrepreneur of New Youth, Jennifer Smith, Springfield City Clerk, Lydia Alderman, Worthy Advisor, the Effingham Rainbow Assembly, and Tamila Mydell, owner of Southern Cafe on 17. Thank you, ladies, for joining us today. Vera Jones, thank you for coming on the show today. Now, you have such an extensive political background. Can you tell us about it as well as a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Thanks for including me in this segment called Empowering Women. That's why I came today. I've been married for 43 years. I have a son, a daughter-in-law, and two amazing grandkids, 15 and 8 years old. They now live in Dallas, Texas. My work history is I managed a mortgage company at 21 years old, became a self-employed loan broker while raising my son, and my husband and I started buying fixer-uppers and living in them for 2 years at a time. We were what you would call the original flippers. We were the original house flippers. That led to us going into the building business. Politically, I was first the athletic booster club president at South Effingham High School for approximately 6 years, then Effingham County School Board for 2 terms, and elected as chair after Charlie Height retired after 30 years. That was an honor. Then served for 2 terms as Effingham County Commission. I consider myself a non-politician, simply a citizen that has served.
Wow, that's very, very lengthy. What inspired you to start your path to this collective successful tenure in local politics?
So my entire personality basically is I believe that you try to do what you can where you are with the gifts that God's given you and what your life experiences have prepared you to do. I volunteered to work for the Athletic Booster Club because we had a traveling AAU boys basketball team, and the South Middle School had carpet in the gymnasium that we practiced, played, and competed with other schools.
Oh, wow.
I found that unacceptable.
Yes.
Right? So I had experience in the Mortgage Loan Brokers Association as a vice president and fundraising. I got with Ann Purcell and got her to give $10,000 from the state and then raise the rest. That's how I ended up on the Booster Club. So each thing, if I see a problem, I try to be part of the solution, basically.
Right.
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 So on school board, during that experience, I studied things that were going on at the school board and learned through their stats that even though people were flocking to Effingham County for a better school system, the ongoing graduation rate in Effingham County for 10 years was 66%.
Oh my.
I also found that unacceptable.
Yeah.
So I ran, and when I left the school board, it was 79%, and I'm understanding that as of now, it's around 90%.
Wow.
County Commission. My business experience, my service in with the public kind of led to there as well. I had 2 different groups come to me and ask me to run, and I had repeatedly said no, because frankly, I know what's in it for you, if you do.
Yeah.
But one day I was watching Fox News, and I saw a story about a teenager that was being chased in the subway by some other teenagers that were trying to catch him and beat them. And that teenager ran into the middle of 3 security guards that were standing there talking. They were identified as security guards. And the security guards did nothing while that child was beaten, kicked, and attacked. And they basically reported in the news that they said they did nothing because it was their job, assigned duty, to observe and report. And something about that news story got me.
Just clicked.
Because my personality is about more than observing and reporting. It's about helping. It's about intervening. It's about making a difference. And, you know, I was like, there's a reason these people are asking me. It's because they know my tenacity, and they know if I get in, I'll get in all the way, and I'll work for them. And that's what caused me to get in.
Wow. Well, we're glad you did. What are some adversities that you were faced with campaigning?
Many, many, many adversities. when certain people, which I call the puppet masters of politics, can't control, manage, or manipulate you, they can't bully you, bribe you, blackmail you, or beat you, then they have to lie and create lawfare. So one of the things that they did to me was they tried to have my name removed from the ballot. I had to go to court to keep my name on the ballot. We had a big campaign, let the people vote. So with me saying that I understand whether you're for him or against him is irrelevant, but why I understand the things that Donald Trump goes through with lawfare and not trying to let people vote,
right.
It happened in little old Effingham County right here. So those are some of the adversities. That's it. I could tell you many more, but I could take up a whole segment here.
Well, what was the reason, if you don't mind me asking, that they were trying to have your name removed?
The reason is because what I just told you about, they couldn't bully me.
Right.
They couldn't run me.
Right.
And so, you know, in some of the other things that I talk about accomplishments and things like that, when
yes.
you keep the budget almost the same for 8 years, there's a lot of monetary reasons why people
right.
aren't
gotcha.
For that. I could get into all kinds of
yeah,
things.
Gotcha.
But the bottom line of it really is right. they couldn't run me.
Wow.
I was for the people.
Right. Did those adversities help increase your determination to win?
I found that an interesting question I had to think about for a minute, because my whole personality is if I commit, that at the moment I commit,
right.
I count the cost. What is it going to cost me to do this? Am I willing to do it? And then I intend not to fail, period. So whatever you do to me at that point, I don't know if it increases it at all, but I still have the same intention. I'm not going to let it keep me from reaching my goal. So, you know, I had the same feeling at no matter what they threw at me as I did when I started.
And what inspired the move from the school board to the commissioner?
So, again, when I finished school board, it was my intention at that time. When I say I'm a non-politician,
right.
none of those things that I did was because I wanted to be in politics.
Right.
So when I was done with school board, I was done. I was just going back to just doing my regular jobs. I had two or three jobs already, right?
Yeah.
So I had no desire or will. And those people coming to me, and then me saying no, and then realizing when I saw that on TV that day, it was just like, I know that I'm the right person. I know that I am for this moment, for this time. I have
right.
the experience, I have the knowledge, and I have the fight, and I can do it. And so I just had to get my will back. But nothing more than that particular timing. I wasn't looking to be a county commissioner, I can tell you.
Well, I know when I talk to some people that run for office and they've never ran for an office before and they get into the office,
mm-hmm.
at first it's just very overwhelming because they find out that there was more to it than what they thought. So after being elected to the commissioner seat, did that seem more of a challenge compared to the school board, or did it just seem like same?
They're both very, very challenging.
Right.
And I will say the people, just speaking from school board, you know, they get paid a certain amount per meeting. But if all you're going to do is attend a meeting, then I think that's perfectly fair. You know, I think they might make $3,000 a year or something like that. It's almost volunteer, you know. And really, I feel like they should be better compensated for what they do. But I did find the commission much more challenging. There's more people. If you have good leadership in the superintendent area of the school system,
yeah.
then while you have plenty of things to improve and change, and just like the graduation rate, like that was not acceptable
right.
in there, but then people get on board with that. Of course, all the citizens want a better graduation rate. All the board members want that. The superintendent wants that. So they get on board with those things. At county commission, there was so many different areas of improper things going on and fighting, and it had been, you know, I'd have somebody say, we've been doing, like on the microphone, we've been doing it this way for 25 years. And my response on the microphone in a public meeting, to give you an idea of who I am, is even though you broke the law for 25 years, we can't keep breaking it, right? And here, let me read the law to you. And then I would read it. But because we were paying a county attorney at the time, sitting there not telling us
yeah.
how to stay out of law. Yeah, sorry. I'm getting into things.
No, you're fine. So this is my next question, but I think you might have already answered it. But I'm just going to ask anyway, what are some achievements that you helped the county reach in your term as a board member and a commissioner?
So I think one of the most important, you know, it's like, what are we elected to do? What's the most, what, when you run for county commission, what are you really being elected to do? And I think what the people really want the most, more than most things, is they want to keep their taxes low, right? Like, what can we do here locally that helps them? It's provide good services. They want to be safe. They want to, you know, things to go well with the sheriff's department, the fire, and they want their roads to be good, and they want their taxes to be low. And so what I, something that I'm really, really proud of is in the 7.5 years, I left early from moving out of district, so about 6 months short of my second full term. So I was there about 7.5 years. During that whole entire time, like the general fund budget was around $28 or $29 million. It remained that. Because if things were needing to go up in public safety, and often they were because people were moving here and we needed more police officers and so forth, then if something was going up in that area, then my position was we must find other areas to cut the expense so that our budget remains the same. And we held really close to that for the entire 8 years that I was there.
So would you say the budget for the commission and raising the graduation rate, would that be the two biggest achievements you had in the board and the commission, or is there something else that might?
Frankly, there are so many things that I'm proud of that I don't, and I'm not trying to take individual credit for this. The Board of Commissioners, the school board, the people involved there with me, we all did this together. And that was something that I worked really hard at, was building bridges also, like when I was at the county, with the county, to build bridges with the cities to provide service delivery so we didn't overlap services. So yes, we weren't paying for fire service from Rincon and Springfield and Guyton and also the county, because we were doing that.
Right.
And so another way to be able to save money and do things like that was through service delivery. That was one of the other things. And something else that I'm really proud of at the school board level was I was there when we voted to build and start the Career Academy, which is where the STEM program is, and trades, and basically school choice.
Yeah, so that was big for the county.
Yeah, that was really huge. And so when I sit back and stop and think of the things that I've been able to be a part of, not taking individual credit, but I'm just so thrilled. Like, my whole life with God, family, and then my desire is to make a difference. And I can honestly say, when I stop for a minute and like I'm making notes about, they're going to ask me this question, what I can see where I've really did make a difference, and I'm really happy about that.
Now, were you always an entrepreneur, or is this something that happened while you were in office?
I think I was born
an entrepreneur.
So we've been married 43 years. I got married right out of high school at 17 years old, and I was my mortgage loan broker. We were doing the house flipping. I had a hair salon, a tanning salon, a building rental, and now I'm doing New Youth. And there's just something within my spirit that we've never just worked. My husband and I, together, neither one of us has just worked one job at a time our whole entire life.
Right.
And I don't really know how you'd make it in today's economy almost any other way.
That's right.
Well, tell us, if you can, briefly, a little bit about New Youth.
Okay, so I'm really excited about New Youth, honestly, and that's the area in which I'm using to be able to help people now. And I will say, I ended up tripping into this business because of being vain a little bit, vanity. I was about to finish my second term at county commission, and I was tired. I wanted to look a little bit better, and I did some research, and I found this infrared technology, and I used it in Puller. So I now have a business in Rincon called New Youth. We use two technologies, a full-body infrared bed that emulsifies fat, puts it back into the lymphatic system, ready for energy to burn. We then use professional-grade vibration plates to burn that fat and build muscle. And I've had clients that no longer need blood pressure medicine, cholesterol medicine. I have a client, as an example, I want to state, because the health benefits, while I was there trying to look better, what I tripped into was life-saving health benefits of this technology for people, especially as we're aging, 30, 40, 50, 60 years old. I had one client that was told by her doctors, in order to qualify for heart surgery that she needed, she could not have the heart surgery unless she lost a significant amount of fat.
Right.
And so she came to us, and she's lost 50 pounds of fat. She's had her successful heart surgery.
Wow.
She no longer has a fatty liver. And she has used it post-recovery to help, because it reduces inflammation. And they actually, I didn't even know that that they have medical tests for inflammation markers, and her inflammation markers were out of the roof right after her surgery, and from using the red light afterward for 2 weeks, they're back to normal.
Wow.
So I'm blessed by God.
Yeah.
That I've been able to find
others.
Something that is, here's a way I can help people now.
Wow. Incredible. Do you think you will reconsider running for office again at some point?
No, never.
Done? You're done? Okay.
So,
okay.
I will say this. I never say never. I don't believe in it. But in this particular instance, mm-hmm. I can't imagine a scenario at 61 years old. I'm in a new part of my life. My son has moved my grandbabies to Dallas, Texas.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to travel back and forth there.
Sure.
I have a business and where I can help people. And the only reason I ended up coming and speaking here today, because I don't do this anymore, is because it was entitled Empowering Women.
Well, we sure do appreciate it.
I want women to know, younger women especially, what they can do. They can do whatever they put their mind to, and they can make a difference.
Well, with that being said, do you have any inspirational words for our listeners?
Okay, let me get what my notes were, because I want to be sure. What I want people to know is, my message is, do what you can where you are, and use the talents and experiences that God has given you. He's given you those for a reason. You're where you're meant to be. Just use your voice, use your talents, and God will do the rest.
Awesome. Vera, thank you for all that you've done for Effingham County, and thank you for helping clear a path and being such an inspiration to the young women of Effingham. And thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Jennifer.
Hi.
Jennifer Smith, City of Springfield Clerk. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you, Tommy?
Good, good. Hey, congratulations on your 10K ruck yesterday.
Thanks.
Yeah. So glad you could join us. Jennifer, tell us about your daily duties and responsibilities as the City Clerk of Springfield.
So the main duties that I have is to maintain the records of the city, to make sure that the public notices go out. I take the minutes of the meeting, just make sure that everything is transparent in the government. All public notices are posted, Facebook posts, council is taken care of. Also plan events. I do employee benefits, payroll, janitorial. I am the little bit of everything.
Wow. Okay. All right. We understand y'all have some festivals coming up in the city. Can you share some information on them?
We do. So we just finished up our First Friday Family Night series. We do that through the summer.
Mm-hmm.
We took a little bit of a break because we prepare for our fall festival.
Yeah.
Fall festival is happening on November 9th. We have a local band, Lynn Avenue, that will open for 90s country band Lone Star. It is a free concert. It is open to any and everybody. We also have vendors. We have over 120 vendors right now registered for the festival. It runs 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And we do have kids' activities. There's a wristband required for that, but it's $5. Kids can play all day on the inflatables. And then the main concert headliner is at 8 p.m. Aside from that, the next thing that we have is our December 1st Friday, which is our tree lighting.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a 5K that happens that night. It's on December 6th. We have a local dance group from the elementary school that's going to come out and do a little performance. There's an event happening at the Mars that night as well. And then on December 7th, we have been working with the Shriners to do a lighted Christmas parade through Springfield.
Okay. All right. And what's your role in organizing and facilitating these events?
I typically handle more of the vendors.
Mm-hmm.
Before I came to work for the city, I was a member of the Merchants Association, and we are the ones that originally started the Fall Festival. So many of the vendors that come to the Fall Festival now are vendors that I had 12 years ago when we first started the festival. So there's a long-running relationship there with them. So I typically take over the vendors. We have a great team at the city. Lauren Ergel, Aaron Phillips, Regina Klontz, and City Manager Matt Morris. We all kind of work together to make the events as good as they can be for the city and the community.
Yeah, and I see. I mean, I've every event I go to in Springfield is just absolutely
Very well wonderful. Run.
You can tell you guys are very organized.
Thank you.
About how many festivals, parades, and events does Springfield host yearly?
With the first Friday, probably six events. There is a calling now. They're wanting us to come up with a spring festival. So that may be in the works for 2025.
Wow.
We also, the DDA, the Downtown Development Association of Springfield, they put on events as well that are not city-hosted, but they are DDA-hosted events.
Okay. Out of all the current events that you have in Springfield, which ones brings the most people to the city?
Definitely the Fall Festival.
The Fall Festival.
The Fall Festival, we average between 3,000 and 5,000 people throughout the city that day.
Wow. That's pretty huge for Springfield.
It's pretty huge. You usually have a big crowd that comes early in the morning. Those are usually the people that are shopping, the vendors, and then there's a midday lull, and then the other crowd comes out later in the afternoon for the music.
Well, Springfield seems to be a desirable location for events with its small town charm and revitalization. Are you seeing an increase in requests for events, and is the public turning out for these events?
Yes, definitely. There has been a major increase in the events. I believe it's, you know, when the bypass came through Springfield, downtown Springfield dried up. And that was what led to the creation of the Merchants Association that was very active in Springfield for years. It was small business owners that got together and were like, we need to do something to keep these businesses here and to bring businesses here. And then between that and the formation of the DDA and city council really pushing, Springfield has been revitalized, and now we have a waiting list of people who are looking for office spaces and retail spaces in the city.
Oh, wow. Wow. What do you enjoy most about helping organize these events?
Talking to the people at the events. Yeah. Once the event is underway and we can take a breath and take a walk around, and the community will come out and tell you how much they appreciate it and how much they enjoy it and how much they love being there in Springfield.
So not only are you organizing the events, you're actually attending these events and participating.
I do.
That's great. That's great. Now, I understand that you stay physically active as well. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So back in 2012, I had a cousin, Connie Burns. Most of you who are from Effingham mm-hmm. County would remember Connie.
Yeah.
So Connie and I had a conversation, and she had said, Jennifer, we're not built to be skinny, but it's time we take our health a little bit serious, and I'm going up to the lake, and when I come home on Monday, we're going to go for a walk. Connie passed that weekend, and so... one second.
Okay.
So I did take a little bit of a break there, and in April of 2013, one of my friends asked me to go walk the Komen 5K with him. And so I walked the Komen 5K, and when we finished the 5K, I was like, guys, everybody that was out there running just looked like they were having the best time. And I think that if we train, we can come back next year and we can run this thing. Well, 6 months later, we completed the Rock and Roll Half Marathon instead. And it's just progressed from there. And then I went to go work for the city, and one of my friends there was having some difficulty postpartum, dropping the weight. And she asked me if I would help her work out. So we developed a workout plan, and when after work, we would go out to Ulmer Park or the city garage, and we'd just work out. And then COVID happened and the gyms shut down, and I decided at that time that I wanted to work on getting my instructor certification. So I went through the courses and got my ACE instructor certification. I now teach a HIIT and strength class at Revolution Cycle and Fitness in Springfield. And I attend Croft HIIT in Rankin. We do functional fitness. And then I'm also an ultra runner. So
you said well, I'm sorry, what kick?
Krav HIIT.
I'm sorry, one more time.
Krav HIIT.
Oh, okay. What is that?
So Krav HIIT is owned by Tom Griffin. He mm-hmm. was one of the instructors at the Y, but he also does martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
And so he took a group of us ladies and taught us how to lift weights. And He started a 5 a.m. class for us where we could learn to lift weights, and we do functional fitness. It's not true CrossFit, but it is similar to that. It's metabolic conditioning, weightlifting, that kind of endurance activity.
So you managed to do all three of those during the week? That's incredible.
I'm at the gym at 5 a.m. every morning.
Wow.
God bless you.
Wow.
So.
Let me borrow some of that energy.
And then training. I had taken a break from ultra running, but I have begun training for that again. I have a 50K coming up this weekend and a 50-miler December 1st.
Oh, my gosh. And where's the one at this weekend?
The one this weekend is Rails to Trails. It's McQueen's Island Trail, which is out towards Tybee.
Yeah.
That was a trail that was very popular. Got destroyed during Hurricane Matthew. The Chatham County and some other organizations worked together to rebuild the trail. So this race helps to preserve and maintain that trail.
Okay. And other than those two, are there any other competitions coming up you would like to talk about?
No other competitions right now. We do have a group of people from the Revolution Cycle and Fitness that are going to be rucking, running, and walking the bridge run on December 7th.
Okay.
So that should be a good time.
What is your favorite event to compete in?
My favorite event of the year is probably Farm Days. Mm-hmm. It's a race that's out at Hunter Cattle Company at Brooklyn, and it's always around Connie's birthday. So the first time I ran it 43 miles to mark that she was 43 when she passed. And every year after that, we always just run what we can run during the 12 hours and play Fat Bottom Girls as the last lap.
Do you have any advice for someone starting out or anyone struggling with lifestyle changes?
Probably the best advice would be don't compare yourself. Fitness is like life. There's somebody that's going to be better than you. There's somebody that's going to be worse off than you. And really just focus on yourself and making those small changes, because those small changes will add up to big progress. And you might not always see how far you've come, but then one day you just realize the distance that you've covered. Also, find a group of people that have the same interests with you.
Yeah.
That support group. I mean, there's mornings my alarm goes off and I'm like, oh, not again today. And then I remember who's waiting for me.
Yeah.
And you show up.
And that helps you get there.
It does. Also, as a woman, and we have a tendency, we put everybody above ourselves.
Yes.
And I wouldn't cancel on them, and I had to learn not to cancel on me.
Absolutely. Any words of inspiration that you'd like to give our future women of empowerment?
Just keep going. And don't put so much weight on other people's opinion of you, because everybody will have an opinion of you. So know your worth and stick to it.
Great. Jennifer, thank you so much for coming on the show. We look forward to seeing all the events that the beautiful city of Springfield continues to host, as well as the new ones. And good luck with the training and the competitions.
Thank you.
Ms. Mydell, owner of Southern Cafe on 17. I just want to say something before I get into all these questions. First of all, I know this is a show about women empowerment, but I just want to say I'm stuck between you and Jennifer, because I want to work out like Jennifer, but I want to eat at your store.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, Frank,
it's a struggle.
I sometimes run to her store and eat and then run home, so there's that.
I'm watching Mr. Mydell over there in the corner as you're talking about the miles you're collecting, and his eyes get bigger and bigger. And so, before I get into these questions, I want to just say, you know, thank you and your husband so much for creating a Hallmark version of a small restaurant that I think everybody in this county loves.
Yes.
And if we could ever put something in the middle of Guyton that could just point to y'all's store, say, just for all you people from out of town, please just go give it a try. Because, you know, when I go out of town, I don't like to go to franchise restaurants. I like to go to somewhere that's built for that community, the home restaurant. And those are hard to find because they call them the hole in the wall, right? And so, you know, my things that make those things unique is, first of all, good food, which I think everybody in this county agrees y'all have good food. Hospitality. Every time I walk in that door, you know, it's usually Mr. Mydell over there smiling with a spoon. And it just, that makes me even more hungry than what I was when I walked in the door. And, you know, and the price. But the price, if you got the first two, the price is sometimes irrelevant. But I think that y'all have, you know, all three of those combinations. And I just want to thank y'all so much for what y'all have done for the city of Guyton and fed us so good. I mean, there's lots of people who are, that brag and say, I ate Highway 17 the other day, and they're just bragging about how full they were. So I got a couple questions for you. And speaking of women empowerment, you know, I just want to hear some of your stories about your store and your experiences. Since you have created something that's so great for the community, what inspired you to open this restaurant?
Southern Cafe was not my idea. My background was cosmetology. And my mother was actually going to open up the restaurant, and my husband was going to back it, and I was just going to, I catered before, and but I was going to stay in the salon. And closer time got to opening up the restaurant, my mom kind of decided that was not for her. And so we were too invested in not to open up Southern Cafe. But I would have to say that I didn't see the vision, but God had already ordered my steps. And with opening the business, it has been a life-changing situation for me and my husband, and in the best and positive ways, because some of the things that the restaurant has allowed me to do, I would not have been doing that if I would have still been a cosmetologist.
Mm-hmm. Can you share some of the story behind your menu and specific dishes?
Yes. Smothered shrimp and grits, I think, is one of our staples. And even, you know, when someone calls about catering, and if we're not booked and we can do it, that's one of the first things that comes out of their mouth is about, we please have smothered shrimp and grits? Smothered shrimp and grits, for me, is a staple for comfort food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And our recipe is a little different from others. And we have truly kept the same recipe for these 10 years. Our restaurant has been open on 10 years. We're working on the 11th. I would say our fried chicken is very good. And, you know, sometimes you can change a vendor. But if you don't carry the same products, then we have to kind of stay where we're at with the vendor, because when a taste is what draws somebody to come back. And so we try to keep that taste the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how do you source your ingredients?
I source ingredients from a number of things. Cooking is in my family, so it's a part of us, and it comes a little natural for me. Just like with catering, you know, I can walk into a room and already envision how it needs to be set up, and I find cooking the same way.
Right.
YouTube is a good source for me. And also we always invested in good cookbooks and kind of comparing different cookbooks. A lot of the vendors have a lot of specialties that they offer now. And so I think those are the top three.
Mm-hmm. Do y'all have any cookbooks in there for sale?
No, I don't have my personal cookbook just yet.
Okay.
But it's coming down
the
road.
All right, you let me know. what do you think sets your restaurant apart from others?
I think the atmosphere and for it being family owned.
Mm-hmm.
That's what brings people back. That smile, that connection with the servers or the workers, or knowing one of our cooks, Reggie, you know, we could be busy in the kitchen and they want to get your eye to say, hey, Reggie, or hey, Miss Tamala. So it just, you know, and it makes our heart feel good as well for people to come in and they want you to speak to them, or they come out and talk to them. Mm-hmm. And I think that we take pride in every meal that we cook. it's hard for me to get a cook now because we cook everything from scratch. Uh-huh. And a lot of people don't have that. It's not, we don't even have a microwave. We brought this new piece of equipment that help us cut oxtails. And so it's like, where are we going to put it at? Where are we going to put it? I said, well, take the microwave because we don't use it anyway. So, I mean, everything is home cooked. Uh-huh. There's nothing that we warm up that comes frozen and we just stick it in the oven and serve it. No. We dice onions. We do the bell peppers. We do everything. Seasonings, everything.
That's the best food. How did you come up with the theme and decor?
I'm going to go back to this and then I'll go to the decor. When me and my husband, and this is empowering women, and this is one of the reasons why I came on the show.
Okay.
When we got ready to open up Southern Cafe, we didn't have any money. And I would tell anybody, and I tell anybody, that when something has been ordained from God, or God has given you a vision of you've been told that, you know, this is your destiny, maybe you need to try this, or you just have that gut feeling, that unction, that this is what I want to do, step out and do it. Uh-huh. Like I said, we didn't have any money to open up Southern Cafe, and we went to Hinesville to meet this man, and he had a bunch of tables and chairs, and so he kind of had already told my husband what he wanted the price for it. So we got outside and we was talking, and his wife wanted the space back for her dance studio. And he looked at me and he said, you know what? How fast can y'all put these tables and chairs into y'all's truck? And I would have to say that's when I knew that this was ordered by God. Uh-huh. Because people began to start giving us stuff. They try to come and volunteer in time to come and help us to open up the restaurant. And my goal to remodel and redo the restaurant, and we have customers, y'all need a bigger space. I like the space that we're in. Guyton is growing. Uh-huh. And right at this point, I like where we are. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do some improvements on the restaurant, but I really love where we are. And it's close to home.
Right. Yeah. That helps too.
Yes.
What is your favorite item on the menu and why?
I have so many. Mm-hmm.
Me too.
I would say our Low Country Ball.
Oh, yeah.
And we make our own sauce to dip the shrimp in. Mm-hmm. That's one of my specialties that I really like, and we created that recipe with trial and error. Mm-hmm. I would say smothered shrimp is my second, and the homemade cinnamon rolls would be the third, and my mom makes the homemade cinnamon rolls for me.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. What is the biggest challenge that you faced at the store?
I would say the increase in pricing from our vendors. Food prices, you know, you see the difference in the grocery stores, but you have to kind of double that what's coming on from the vendors, from our, you know, the truck service. Because not only is the food more expensive, then they're taxing on the gas as That's well. Right. So, you know, you're paying on both ends with that. My biggest thing is the food. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what are some notable trends that you see in the restaurant industry today?
I think all of us could say that not having enough of staff is one of our major concerns. And I know this not just only with the restaurants, it's all businesses. I serve on the Chamber of Commerce, and that's something that we constantly discuss about the workforce environment. Mm-hmm. And trying to make it better, but nobody has that magic key just as yet.
Just yet.
And with Hyundai coming in, you know, it's a challenge as well. And, you know, we want the community to grow. We want, you know, people to get better jobs and everything, but then it takes away from the smaller businesses that, you know, only have a couple of people working. So we've had to downsize our Saturdays. Instead of staying open till 8, we close now at 2. Uh-huh. Because Sunday is so busy, and with staffing problems and staffing issues. I would say that's one of my major concerns at this time.
I think that's across the restaurant board. Could you share some unforgettable customer stories? Any maybe a couple that come to mind that you might want to share with us?
I would say my husband has more of those than I do, because you know we tease him all the time in studies saying welcome to Walmart. He's out there saying welcome to Southern Cafe. So I'm the type that I stay in the kitchen because I'm a hands-on person. You know, every meal, everything that's cooked, I have to approve it to go out. When we first opened up the restaurant, and we would have some older men that came, and they would be at the restaurant door before 6 o'clock waiting to come in. So, and they would be in their golf carts or either come in their trucks, and they would be waiting. I'd be like, oh Lord, let me hurry up and get this door open. And they would come in. And so one morning he told me, he said, I want to tell you something. I've been coming here every morning, and one thing I want to tell you, I ain't never came in here, it was dirty. I said, well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. But that makes me feel happy that we have customers that can come for breakfast and they can come for lunch. Mm-hmm. A lot of older senior citizens, they're not able to cook anymore. And I'm glad that our prices are affordable, way that people can come and eat more than once a day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's meeting the need. And we've had some senior citizens that just wasn't able to kind of maintain. So for about a year and a half, every day we would send them lunch. Every day we would send them lunch. And to just get a card in the mail and say, I thank you so much for thinking about us. Or their family dropping by, thank you so much for what you're doing for my mom. Mm. You know, yeah. It makes the world.
That's what it's all about. Yeah, that's what it's all about. How do you manage staffing and training currently, and are you looking for any new hires?
I'm always looking for new hires because it's like twofold. We have the restaurant, but then we have a catering service that's busy as well. Mm-hmm. So in a lot of the events that we have, we need to go out and staff that as well. I've been looking for a cook for 5 years now. Mm-hmm. So, and it's a challenge. It really is a challenge. Dealing with it, I have a good family support system that they step in and help. Nieces, nephews, my sister, they jump in and help us out with whatever we need, from the front end of the restaurant to the back end of the restaurant.
Good. So,
yeah.
Okay. And I asked you this question, and hopefully, maybe you'll reveal some secrets y'all got coming up. I'll watch Mr. Mydell's face over there as I ask this question. Looking ahead, what are some of your future plans and aspirations for the restaurant?
My future plan is to have that cookbook, to sit down and make some time to do that cookbook. That is a goal of mine. And one of our goals that we did talk about was to have a second location. But the challenge has come up with the economy changing, that maybe right now is just not the right time, but I'm hoping in the next 5 years that's our 5-year goal. That's our 5-year plan.
Any locations in mind?
I would like to be closer to the Eden area.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's good. All right. One last thing, you know, this is a show about women's empowerment. So, I think you've, are Staplestone and Guyton, and if there's a message that you could give out there to young ladies or ladies in whole to motivate them or to inspire them, what would you tell them?
I would tell women, it's never too late. It's never too late to start over. It's never too late for a new beginning. Just stop being afraid and just step out and do it. There's more people and more assistance out there than what you think is possible. Sometimes we're our worst critic ourselves. You know, we can talk ourselves out of something so fast, but sometimes just step out. Just step out. Make a plan. You know, 6 months, do your research. Do your homework before you jump into it or jump out at it. But just step out. Because if you don't do it, it's always going to be on the back of your mind. So you just need to step out and just do it.
Thank you, Ms. Mido. Mm-hmm. Speaking of stepping out, I'm going to be stepping into your restaurant this week. And I encourage everybody listening, everybody in this room, to do the same thing. Lydia Alderman.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good. Thank you for coming out here to beautiful Stillwell Pines to join us for Women's Empowerment. Can you state your age real quick?
Hi. Well, thank you for having me, first off. And I'm 16 years old, and I turned 17 this January 10th. Super excited for that.
Good, good.
Yes.
Mine's January 19th. Maybe we can get together.
Oh, awesome.
Share some cake. what is the International Order of Rainbow Girls?
So the International Order of Rainbow for Girls, or Rainbow Girls for short, is a nonprofit organization, all girls group, dedicated to making strong female leaders in the community.
How does Rainbow Girls help the community?
So Rainbow Girls organize fundraisers for many different charities. The charities we have raised money for are charities you would recognize nationally. That would include the Habitat for Humanity, Make-A-Wish Foundation, Burn Children Recovery Foundation, and America Cancer Society. In the state, we have supported Burt's Big Adventure, Shriners Children Hospital, Canine Assistance, and Scottish Rite Care, and it is a child's language program. Locally, we have supported the Ailey Temple Mobile Unit and a cancer survivor, Miles Pass, and a little dear to my heart is the Springfield Lodge for a lift for the Springfield Lodge for our handicapped members and our elderly lodge members. So really proud of all the dedication those girls put in for that lift.
Are there any scholarship opportunities?
Yes. In Rainbow, we have many scholarship opportunities. Scholarships come from Rainbow Girl Order of the Eastern Star, Order of the Amaranth, and other Masonic organizations. Furthermore, the tenets of Rainbow sets young ladies up to be competitive and successful with various scholarships. Our mission statement is a dedication to a life of service. That is what colleges are looking for, and that's a great opportunity for any young lady in Rainbow.
How has Rainbow Girls helped you as a student, athlete, and mentor?
So being part of Rainbow Girls has helped me in school with studying habits. I am now currently a part of many extracurricular high academic teams that I'm very proud of. And as well as organizing my schedules and taking responsibility for maintaining such an organized on-time schedule, it also helps me find a sense of community. I'm surrounded by lovely young women, not just in the state of Georgia, in many other states that are very impressive, hardworking, and just lovely to be around. It also helps me with public speaking. I have done, in Rainbow, we have a lot of public speaking parts, a lot of memorization, a lot of speeches that we must give, and it's really helped me develop my speech. It's helped me develop my vocabulary, and it's all around just helped me build confidence in the things I do. As an athlete, I have learned the value of dedication and hard work. Rainbow, you cannot elevate yourself without putting in those things. And even as a cross-country runner, putting in the work to get the results is a huge lesson I've had to learn, especially from recovering from an injury. Finally, as a mentor, it really fills myself with great pride watching other young members soar above their station and elevate themselves to a higher position, and it's just an incredible, beautiful thing to witness.
Good. Who might be some of the notable ladies who were Rainbow Girls?
So some well-known people in Rainbow Girls were actually few but not limited to Dorothy McClark. She was an astronaut. Pam Hardy, a communications executive, Jill Kimount, an Olympic skier, Olympia Snow, a U.S. Senator, Sandra O'Connor, she was the first Supreme Court Justice, and notable career fields here from Georgia, Rainbow, include education, medical career fields, financial sector, service in the armed forces, airline industry, science fields, and the grand charity for Georgia is studying astrophysics in college currently. To find out more about this organization, if you want to be a part of it, please reach out to our mother advisor, Sandy Gibson, Frank Norris, and there are also other assemblies in the area to include Savannah, Martha Hardison, Rose, and Friendship. You can contact them on the internet at www.ga.iorg.org. So,
right. Yeah. And you have a Facebook page, right?
Yes, sir, we do.
F&M Rainbow Assembly.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So if you want to check them out, yeah. What are some of the, he just listed that out, some of the career fields. Tell me, who could be a Rainbow Girl?
Any young lady between the ages of 10 to 20 can come join Rainbow. You would have to be recommended, or if you're by a Rainbow Girl, or if you had a family member, a part of a Masonic organization, you can get a petition and just join Rainbow. We'd love to have anyone.
Right. And there's, you already have a vast variety of girls now. Tell me about how many girls are in the assembly.
We have on roll about 15, mm-hmm. I believe, or so girls. They all come from different backgrounds, and one of my best friends is a part of this organization. So it's really a beautiful thing to see all these lovely ladies come together as one assembly.
Right. And coming together, y'all do. Y'all done a lot of achievements there at the lodge and in for the community. But can you tell me about some of the fundraisers that y'all done?
Some of the fundraisers we have done is we have done a lot of raffle tickets. We've attended events such as poker runs. Those were very fun. Car shows. We've done that in Springfield. We've even had... we even sold ice cream down at the lodge, and we even had a bake sale once that was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
That our organization and assembly profited most graciously from it.
Right. And y'all did a Easter lily sale to the churches in the local area and surrounding areas, and that did really good too, right?
Yes, sir, we did.
Any notable events in the near future for the assembly?
As far as I'm aware, I'm pretty sure we do. I just don't have it on hand with me at this moment in time.
Okay. Tell us, what is your favorite part of being a Rainbow Girl?
Ooh, I have many favorite parts about being in Rainbow. However, I think the most favorite of mine is watching officers or young ladies that come into Rainbow not knowing anything and building their confidence to stand up and say their name proudly and speak with such vigor that it's honestly, it just fills your heart with full of pride. There's not emotion, or there's not words that I can really speak of saying this phenomenon. It's just watching young ladies grow and develop. And not only that, looking back I've been a part of this for 4 years, watching how far I've come as a member and watching how far others will go.
Mm-hmm. So while Jennifer was talking a little while ago about her routines and stuff and some of her events that she's been doing as a runner, and athlete, I saw you jumping around over there, so I'm gonna give you the chance to talk about yours. Tell me about your lifestyle as an athlete.
Well, as an athlete, I must say a lot of misconceptions that occur. I'm a cross country runner. I run 3.10 miles and compete in Georgia in wooded areas. The terrain is never flat. I don't care what your coach tells you. There's always something that provides a challenge. Part of that is a lot of training and consistency with running. A lot of people, if you do not keep up with your habits in running and staying fit, it will be very painful at practice when you try and run with the same pacing. Another thing is taking time every time before I go or do a race or a run is taking time and taking silence to yourself and talking with God or having a moment where you can just get your mentality in the clear. Foods also have helped. I'm a big pasta fan, and now that I know there's a nice restaurant in Springfield, I'll definitely be guiding. Oh, excuse me. I'll be going there. And as a runner, just keeping a good, strong mentality maintains a strong, healthy body. No matter how hard you fall down, it's all about getting back up in order to complete such hard runs and such. So,
Can you tell me some of your achievements that you've had?
Some of the achievements I'm really proud of having due to great coaches and amazing teammates. Shout out to Coach Howard and all my lovely teammates. Is running my first half marathon. I did that a few months ago. Let's see. I won last week. I placed second on one of my 5K races out of 62 runners. And upcoming, I have sectionals where I will run and our team will hopefully be state bound. And one of my previous accomplishments from last year that blew me to tears was making it to track and field state as a runner and running with my team and watching all those really, really fast runners and being in that group and running with them is some of the many accomplishments I'm very proud of, and I hope to obtain more with great support from family, friends, coaches, teammates, and I just look forward to great seasons to come.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Thank you for all that. You know, I've watched you grow over the last couple of years, and I'm very proud of you. I think that we've got a very good cast of ladies here that have spoken on empowerment. From a young lady's perspective, what kind of words of wisdom could you give to other young ladies and motivation to inspire them?
I wish to give young ladies an inspiration of don't give up. Don't quit. You will have hard times. You will have trials. You'll have tribulations. Yes, it may suck, but sometimes you have to go through that to see the end of the rainbow.
Lydia, I think you did a great job. Frank told me you were a good speaker, but you really knocked it out of the park. And like he said earlier, you're surrounded by some empowered women in this room. And I hope that you can continue the path that these ladies have set the foundation for. Now, we want to go to a question we want to ask the round table. This is for everybody, so please comment. What programs or classes would you like to see offered in the county to help young women start a path to individual empowerment? Anybody?
As a student at South Effingham, I personally would like to see an empowerment in the Spanish community. I have a lot of associates and friends that they can speak Spanish, but they have problems with learning English. And a lot of faculty at my school, they can speak Spanish. It's just really challenging to speak English. And I would like to see more support for these foreigners coming into this country and just spreading love and kindness towards everyone and trying to overcome language barriers as best to your ability.
Great. I'll say I don't honestly know of any programs per se. That would take a little bit of research, but let me give some credit to what you guys did here today with having this conversation because I'm inspired by these ladies. Wow. Everybody here said something really, really deep and touching. Absolutely. About how all women can succeed, and maybe even just something like this. I mean, if there was a program at the STEM Academy during off hours for empowering women, where women got together and spoke and gave this type of information on all different kinds of resources and businesses, because we all do have, like, we have resources that we're aware of. Yes. And somehow us getting together and sharing that, yes. I think this has been awesome.
Thank you.
I think a financial-based program for women would be very beneficial. If you speak to anybody who has been in a domestic situation and you ask them why they didn't leave, a lot of the times the answer is, I didn't have the money to leave. And I think that if women were more empowered and more in control of the financial aspects of their life, they would be more empowered to not be in situations that they don't need to be in.
Good point.
I would say that dealing with young women in the church and dealing with seeing young women come in, I think that I didn't know anything about Rainbow until today. And that we need more young women to be in programs of that. Because speaking on engagements is very important. Mm-hmm. I used to tell young people, or when I have a speaking engagement at a church, that, you know, this is a time when you're young to get up, talk, speak. You think that's being harassment when it's youth day and it's your time to perform. But it builds your future as an adult to be able to speak in a congregation or to speak at a program or institution, that more women need to know the proper etiquette of eating, you know, when you're going out to events. And some of these things we take for granted and think that we are already supposed to know, and we don't. There used to be, I don't know whether she's still in Savannah, but the Millie Lewis modeling school. You know, I wish that we would have something like that here in Effingham. And it's not about trying to make yourself be cute. It's just teaching you some basic standards that I think that every young woman, knowing my nieces and nephews and my nieces, I would say that I would encourage and even help sponsor and pay for them to take it, because it's important to be able to sit in a room and still hold your own, because she did an awesome job today. Yeah. An awesome job. And we need more young women to have advantage, that advantage as well.
Thank you for that. I greatly appreciate that.
All right, ladies. Well, I just want to again thank y'all all for coming on here. I have to second, you know, Tommy on this one. It was very touching to listen to every one of y'all. I got something out of every one of y'all, and it really touches my heart to have share y'all's stories. Thank you. This will be something I'll never forget. I hope that in the future y'all be willing to come back on for other segments. Yes. I wish y'all the best of luck in all your endeavors, and that, you know, God bless y'all going forward. And thank y'all for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you.